You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
So you guys are in for maybe a hilarious treat because I'm using modern day technology for the first time to preach on. So here goes. All right, I'm not Logan, so this could be scary. I'm a little bit old school with things, so this could be scary. So anyways, I'm going to pray real quick, and then we'll dive into this. Lord, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to come and to testify to your goodness and your greatness, Lord. Lord, I just pray that this morning you'll open the hearts and the minds of these men, Lord, and that you'll work your Holy Spirit through them, Lord, to be touched in a way that you see fitting, Lord. I just confess to you once again that I'm your tool. I'm ready to be used however you desire, Jesus. Use me this morning. Amen. So we've been going through a time of sharing our testimonies. I can't put my hand in my pocket. just really quick, I guess I should get this out of the way really quick. I was fighting a fire the other day, and I got a couple little burns on me, so don't touch my right shoulder or my right ear. I'd appreciate it. And then I got a little bit on my right hand, so if I'm shaking your hand with my left hand, it's because there's a couple blisters on there, and I don't want to get my ooze all over you. It's not a big deal. It's just that way you guys kind of know what's going on. It's just something that happened. But anyway, so we've been going through a series in our men's breakfasts about sharing our testimonies. And so I was talking to Mark, and Mark asked me to share. And I said, well, Mark, can I share something a little bit different instead of my conversion testimony? I wanted to share a little bit about what the Lord did as through in me and how he changed me and the lessons I learned as I went through the process of adoption. So, Josh, if you want to throw that picture up really quick. So this is what we call our organized chaos. It's a much better picture, but it's off a Facebook thing because I didn't prepare well enough. So this is our life now. As you can see, I was trying to get a picture for, the grandparents and stuff with all the kids smiling. And I kept getting pictures of five smiling and one doing something silly. So this time I finally got one with one smiling and everyone else doing something what they're not supposed to do. So that's our life, though. We call it organized chaos. And so I want to just share what the Lord's done through this time of the miracles, as well as what he did to change me through this time, and just how God's answered prayers. So lesson number one is God answers prayers. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, and sometimes wait. He tends to reveal to us just enough to keep us going until the time comes where he wants to reveal in full what we need to know. So and that's really what happened to us. So I prayed three times for a boy. I had my oldest daughter, Juliana. Not a big deal, first kid, who cares? I wanted a boy and a girl anyway, so it was great to, it didn't matter if it was internal, external plumbing. Then Annika came along. And we thought, oh, the pregnancy's totally different. You know how women come up with their little wives' tales and go, oh, she's carrying it differently. Oh, this is definitely, she's carrying it lower and this. And the baby moves so much where Juliana didn't move, blah, 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 blah. It's definitely a boy. Yes, I'm getting a boy too, perfect. A girl and a boy, can't get any better than that. Another girl, internal plumbing. So then Sophia comes along, right? So I knew that... Or my wife knew, because she's a very wise woman, that we better find, because we didn't find out with the other two what we were having until they popped out. Well, with Sophia, I go, we need to find out ahead of time, because if it's another girl, I got to deal with it before she comes out without with internal plumbing and start getting crushed then. So we found out at the ultrasound or whatever that we were having another girl, and I said, oh, great. Andrew goes, what do we want to name her? And I said, AG, another girl. She didn't buy that. I got over it, and it was great. So then I thought we were done. I was like, well, I had prayed all these times. I wanted boys and girls. I had prayed each time for a boy. A little selfish thing is that I was in my family of Kojulas. I was the last male, the youngest male cousin with the last name to potentially carry on the last name. So that was a little selfish thing, but it kind of you kind of carry that weight. If any of you have been in that situation, you think about that and you carry that weight. So there I was, three girls, and I got cut and burned. I was done. We were good. We agreed. When we got married, we agreed on having three kids. Andrew wanted six. I said one. We negotiated to three, and that's what we had. So I got cut and burned, and we were good. But this is where the story changes. So we always had a heart for children. And that was something that we just love kids. You know, I'm one of those weird guys. I don't make a big deal about it. But if I can hold someone's baby, I hold someone's baby. I don't like, you know, if there's 15 women trying to hold the baby, I don't like push my way in there. Don't get me wrong. But if they're at our house and the baby's there, I'll definitely, and there's not other people in line, I'll definitely take the baby. And I enjoy that. And so someone told us about 2 weeks before our twins, the little ones were born, about a program called Safe Families. And it was a perfect fit for us because I didn't really want to deal with the state. I didn't want to deal with the rules and regulations that the state throws at you in a foster care situation. But we wanted to love kids. The Lord's blessed us with a house where we can take in more kids. And so we were like, okay, well, let's start doing this. So we started going through the process. And this was about 2 weeks before the boys were born. And it was funny. I was at work, and a guy just had a baby. And I go, and I was bragging. I was like, I'll never have to change a diaper again. Don't ever say never, because I've changed a lot of diapers since I've made that statement. So 2 weeks before the boys were born, we started filling out information for this program called Safe Families, which is like a foster care prevention program. So basically, the goal of the program is to really share Jesus with this family that's going through a crisis. But the family might be going through such a crisis that they need someone to take care of their children for a little while they go through this crisis. You reunite them at the end, and the whole goal is hopefully they know Jesus by the time they get through their crisis and they move on in Christ and in the power of Christ. So we thought, wow, this is perfect. So we weren't all the way through, and we get a phone call at like mid-afternoon one day or 2 o'clock. I don't know. Let's say it was a Thursday. I'd have to have my wife for all the specific details, which you guys don't even care about anyways. So let's say it was at 2 o'clock on a Thursday. Hey, we have this situation. The family that's already through and cleared for the program, they can't take these kids. So are you interested? Well, sure. 2 infants. They were 8 weeks old at the time. Sure. We went and met them a couple hours later. They rushed us through the process, which they normally don't do. Obviously, you know the legalities of taking care of children. And in our litigious society, everyone wants to see you for whatever. So there's always these risks that people have. But they rushed us through the program. So 12 hours later, we had the children in our home. But that was the miracle number one, is that there was a family that was already through the process, and they weren't able to say yes at the time. So the children come into our home for about 6 months roughly. We have a great time with them. My wife, she became close with the baby's birth mom, and it was just an excellent time. Then at the end of the about 6 months, the crisis was over. The family was reunited, and we were moving forward, and it was great. During that time, we had a CPS. They consider us non-related extended family members, so NERFMs. And I said, if anything ever happens in this situation, send the children back to us. So the 6 months is over. And, well, that was close. It turned off for a moment, Logan. I almost had to call for help. that was over. And during this, so right when it was over, during this time, the Lord started preparing our hearts. And so Andrea had really become close to this young woman and really developed a great relationship. And we were kind of like grandparents. I know I'm super young to be a grandparent, but we were kind of like grandparents. Is we would take the boys in our home once a week to give this single mom a break so she could get caught up on the things that single moms need to get caught up on. She would come over when I'm away at work and stay the night with Andrea. So we really kind of took on a grandparents role. And I really felt in the Lord that we need to prepare our hearts to be a part of this family forever. Not necessarily in the situation that it happened, but we really felt that, hey, these boys are going to need us in their lives and the mother as well forever. So I told Andrew one day, I go, you need to prepare yourself that this is our lives from here on out, that we're a part of their lives, that they're our close extended family in a sense. And then another miracle that happened, though, in order for us to host them, so unfortunately, the mom had already lost children. And so in that situation, it's called bypassed. And so normally if the state gets involved again, they don't give you a second chance. They just say, we're done and over here, you know, you're going to lose some more children. But they gave her a second chance, and which enabled us to actually meet her. So that's a huge miracle in itself, because the state doesn't usually have that kind of compassion in these situations. So that was a big deal. All these little miracles that are going on, and how God's working through all this to see that obviously there was some divine appointments. And I was talking about how we started becoming family with this whole family. And the other lesson I learned is to really view people through God's eyes. I really had to take a step back and go and really reevaluate how I view people, and remember that every person is a soul in need of a Savior, right? I've said that before. Every person's a soul in need of a Savior. And once I heard this young woman's story and what she has been through and the things her parents did to her and put her through, and realized she didn't have a chance without Christ in her life, because no one had taught her how to be a mom, how to be a woman, how to, you know, finish school, how to finish anything, how to work hard. No one had taught her these things. She was just, you know, put into a horrible, horrible, horrible situation, the worst of the worst. It's not, I'm not going to go into that. I don't feel it's my place, thank you, to share those stories, although she's very open now. But just to step back and go, this poor young woman, she just doesn't have anybody that is helping her along. And then it was great, because she was here on a Thursday night, and the whole miracle, how she said yes to Jesus. Martha came up first. She gave a word. Kenny came up right after her, gave another word. I was leading the service, and she was in the back with the babies and my wife, Andrea, and in the crying room, but it's not really called a crying room here anymore, the mom's room, sorry. So we get in trouble if we use the wrong terminology. The mom's room, not the crying room. She was back there, and I was able to tie those two words, because I knew that God had spoke those words just for her. And so we tied those two words together. Andrea's back there with her, and she said yes to the Lord in the back there. And I'm telling you, she started making some great strides. Unfortunately, due to a sticker on a license plate tag, things changed in a moment. So we had reunited her. Everything was going back the way it was supposed to. But the bottom line is, sometimes when you come out of a certain culture, it's hard to move into a new culture. And she was out of an old culture, and she was actually, it's a miracle, because it was just a little sticker that changed everything for her and us, actually. This sticker on the it was an expired license plate tag, so they got pulled over for this. But the bigger story in that is that, and she told us this, is that she was leaving and not coming back. So we were no longer going to be part of this family anymore. She had plans to take off and not come back. And so, but the Lord had different plans, obviously. And that's another part of the miracle. This whole little sticker sent everything in a tailspin. The state got involved. Everything changed. There was this 10 days, we called the 10 days of torture, because, excuse me, we were already put into the system that if anything were to happen, we were hoping not, we're pushing forward, but if anything were to happen, they were already comfortable in our house, right? They come over once or twice a week anyway, so it wouldn't have been a big deal. But there's this 10-day windows that we didn't have them, they got put into the system. And it was funny, because if it was up to the emergency caseworker who actually got involved on that Saturday and took the children from the mom, they would have stayed with this family that wanted to adopt. In fact, funny story, when she comes, once we get through, there's a whole long process of how you go through this whole thing. But once you go from the emergency, you know, terminating rights into the, we're heading towards adoption, you get different caseworkers through this time. So the emergency caseworker became our caseworker to finish up the adoption process. And the first day we meet her, she comes in and goes, you know, if you don't want the boys, well, this other family that they were with, they really want them. We're like, are you kidding me? You don't come in here. My wife's all, do you want our girls too? What is this all about? You know, I mean, it's just like, come on, people. And so, but the point of the matter is that this lady who, you know, has influence, because when you're going through this process, these people have power over you, actually. She had other plans for the boys. But again, the Lord worked it out with some recognition of some friends that we know, worked it out to put them in our home instead of leave them in this place where they were more than willing to take them. And so then the court's decision was that they were not going to reunite the mom. Reunification was not going to happen. At this point, the mom asked us, would you adopt the children? We had already been prepared in our hearts by the Lord that, you know, if this came about, that we would definitely take them as our own. But I have to say, through this process, it has been exciting to see the new creation that the mom is. So she said yes to the Lord, made a mistake, it happens, but she has repented from this, and she glows in Christ now. We hadn't seen her for a while because she said, you know, I need some time to heal. And the Lord has been working miracle after miracle, healing after healing in her life. She is just living for Jesus, sold out completely, gets that Jesus is Lord of her life. She had the opportunity on her dad's deathbed to bring him to the Lord, to bring a niece to the Lord, to share Jesus with her mom. I mean, all these wonderful things. And you just see her and she just glows and you just see Jesus through her. So even though this was a horrible situation for her, God's working miracles in her life, and it's absolutely awesome to see. And so I say that you have to, if you step back and you really consider, she's lost multiple sets of children, all right? You have to grieve that. She's lost her family because her family's really no good for her. She's had to grieve that, but yet she continues to say, yes, Lord. She continues to say, I'm a sinner saved by your grace. The work's been done on the cross. I'm not perfect, yet I'm moving forward. And I just want to encourage you that no matter what you're going through, no matter what your situation is, if you look to Jesus, if you get on your knees and you seek out Jesus in everything you do, and you ask him to heal you of these pains and these griefs and whatever it is in your life, he will work through you, but you got to be sold out and you got to give it to him. And everyone in her life has just pointed her to Jesus, pointed her back to Jesus. And it is, she is awesome. It's not easy for her. I'm not going to pretend that it's easy for her. A mom's a mom forever. But at the same time, Jesus just worked a mighty miracle. And God's always working miracles in people's lives. People just need to let him sometimes. People forget to let Jesus work. But you got to let Jesus work. And so another lesson I learned was a concern I had was will I be able to love other children as though they're my own? And I'll tell you what, the father heart of God is, he loves all of us when we repent through Jesus as his own. And the God has given us the ability. It's like our family's been together forever. It's not like there was ever a hiccup. It's like there are natural born children, although they're not. And that's because of the Father working in us. And then being able to see that it's easy for me to love these children. You know, there's no example. When they first came to the house, you know, I'd kiss them on the forehead or the cheek, but we wouldn't share forks and cups and these kind of things because you don't share them with the guys you're sitting next to for the most part, right? Okay, but with your kids, you kind of just whatever, eat off their plate, drink their glass, and that kind of stuff. But that wasn't the case, you know, beforehand. I mean, now it's obviously the case, but it's a little thing. I get that, but it shows a big thing that the Lord did in our lives as well as their lives. And we're mom and dad. They're thriving. They're doing great. David, the oldest brother, he's come through a lot. He was exposed to some extreme situations, and yet he's thriving. This last year in school, we went from having all kinds of issues with behavioral stuff and even academics to the point where he's just absolutely taking off and doing great in school, doesn't have any behavioral issues. And it's just awesome to see. And so I say this to you when we think about people that we see out there, especially because Christians tend to be on the conservative side of things when it comes to welfare and Medi-Cal or however you want to look at it, these situations. And I want to encourage you that you don't know, even though we can say it's their own fault, and sometimes it is, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes it is people's own fault, their choices, their consequences for our actions. Sometimes those consequences are good for good actions. Sometimes they're bad for bad actions. But sometimes we really don't know what's happened to in this situation. And it's not our job to sit there and get upset. It's our job to point people towards Jesus. We don't need to tell people that, hey, this is what's wrong in your life. If you just share Jesus with them, the Holy Spirit will tell them what's wrong in their life. You just need to point them to Jesus. And I just want to encourage you to just always, before you get, oh my, and believe me, it's hard for me sometimes because I work in some rough areas where I got to deal with a lot of people that are abusing things, and I get that. But when you really take a step back and you just try and go, I didn't walk in this person's shoes. And when you really think and look at people the way God looks at people, they're God's creation. Whether you want to admit it or not, God created these people. And they are a soul in need of a Savior. And I just want to encourage you to take that in. And if there's someone in here that hasn't taken the time or hasn't really gone, I'm a son of God. I've been adopted into the Father's house. I want to encourage you that today is a good day to do that. There's people at your table. I'll talk to you afterwards. Right now, if you'd like to, just say yes, Lord. Just say, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I've made mistakes. I've messed up. But I recognize that you are who you say you are. You died on the cross for my sins. You were buried, but you didn't stay dead. 3 days later, you rose again, conquering death so that we may all have eternal life. And without you, Jesus, I don't have anything. But with you, Jesus, I can have everything. It's that simple. It's not some big, crazy thing. It's just really saying, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. And God created you, and he wants you to live in freedom. And that freedom truly only comes when you're living for Jesus and in Jesus. Otherwise, you're walking in this world and doing the things of the world, and that's not freedom. That's not what you're created for. You're created to walk in freedom, which only comes in Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that you have blessed me with the miracle of 3 boys, that you answered prayers. It took 12 years, but yet you answered prayers, and I prayed for 3 boys, and I have 3 boys. Lord, you are so good. You are so, so good. Jesus, I just pray, Lord, that today, if there's a man in this room that has not said, Jesus, you are Lord of my life, that has not said, Jesus, I need you, that today will be the day that that person says, that man says, Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Lord, just send your Holy Spirit on this place. Fill each man, Lord. And Lord, give those that need you the courage to stand up and say, Jesus, I need you this morning. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for all the blessings and the miracles and the way you work through life. Sometimes we don't understand it. Most of the time we don't get it. You only reveal to us what we need revealed to us. And yet, Lord, you work in all of us, Lord. And you work things for the good. And we just praise you for that, Jesus. Lord, bless these men. Amen.
Thanks, Paul. You know, it's easy to kind of go through life and you don't see God's hand working in lots of things, or we don't recognize his hand working in our lives. But Paul is a guy who seeks God, and I know he does with all of his heart, and he sees God moving in his life in all these ways because he recognizes it. But if you don't see it, it's not that God's not moving. He is working. We just need to be sensitive to him to see it. And I appreciate that. That was a great word. Thanks, Paul.